Business and the media are pandering at the expense of business aviation. Who will stand up to the bullies? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. In our Aero Briefing podcast yesterday, I joked that with everyone from the Obama administration to the New York Post taking advantage of public misunderstanding to grandstand against business jets, the one recession-proof job in the country right now might be held by Ed Bolin, president and CEO of the National Business Aviation Association. Little did I know that ANN editor-in-chief Jim Campbell was already with him on the phone.
Well, folks, you had to have read the news lately. Every time you turn around, it seems like, well, business aviation's become whipping boy for the New York Post, among others. And while the journalistic standards there are certainly in question, the big problem is that we're talking about business tools at a time when this country really needs to be doing business. We're speaking with Ed Bolin. And Ed, well, as you might suspect, as the head of the NBAA, might have a few words to say on the subject. Ed, welcome to Aero News and to our world as it is.
Thanks, Zoom. Good to be with you this morning.
Ed, let's start first with the bizjet bashing. Obviously, it's something that's highly suspect for a number of reasons, but it also doesn't make much business sense, does it?
No, it doesn't make much business sense because the aircraft, as all of your listeners know, is a tremendous tool that allows companies to reach communities that have little or no commercial service. It allows them to work on proprietary information en route. It allows them to do multiple sites in a single day. It allows them to transport products that either don't fit in an overhead bin or go in a cargo hold. It allows them to cover distances that aren't practical by car. So, yes, these are very much business tools, and they're very important to the companies that operate them. But beyond that, they are also very important to the communities where these companies are going, where they've got plants, facilities, customers. I think a lot of people miss the fact that business aviation, general aviation in the United States, means over a million good manufacturing jobs, good service jobs. It means economic development in our small towns and rural communities, as well as a productivity and time tool for the companies that operate them.
So why is the bizjet become such a whipping boy between the Hill and the media?
Well, I think that is because the times that business aviation is often the subject of press scrutiny is in those instances where it is used in an unusual manner. And as a journalist, Zoom, you know that dog bites man is not a story, man bites dog is. And so when you see those rare instances where business aviation is not being used for a productive business purpose, that becomes the headline. And unfortunately, there has been enough of that generated over several years that it has been easy for the public to see a business tool as a perk rather than the tool it is, because the isolated instances that are splashed across the headlines reflect the unrepresentative part of the community rather than the representative.
Well, Ed is the guy who stands top dead center in regards to anything having to do with business aviation, especially where media perceptions are concerned. How do you fight this? When you have a piece like that, which appeared in the Post, which is one of the most poorly written and obviously slanted pieces we've seen for a while, and even from the Post, how do you defend business aviation, and how do you interface with the folks that are writing this drivel to begin with?
Well, first of all, we are on Capitol Hill constantly trying to work with individual members to make sure they understand the importance of business aviation in their district and in their state. We have also urged the community to make their voices heard so that it is not a single person or a single organization saying these things are important, but they are feeling it from their own constituency. I think that is tremendously important. We've written to the White House. We've had meetings with the transition teams discussing this. But I think that we are in a situation where our country is going through, and I think it's been described as an economic crisis of biblical proportion. And I think that there's just a lot of churning going on in a lot of areas, and we are just trying to be as front and center with as many members of Congress and the administration as possible. And I think that the community is doing that as well. I sent a letter out last night to NBA's constituency, asking them to contact their members of Congress, to go to their website. The response on that appears to be enormously strong, and I think that's the way that we're going to claw our way back on this, is block by block, city by city, congressional district by congressional district. And that power is going to come from grassroots mobilization.
We've got quite a battle coming up in regards to fixing what's wrong in this economy. One would think that a pivotal tool like a business aircraft, which can allow a CEO to do three things in one day versus the airline scheme of one thing over 3 days, you would think something like that would be highly valued. Have you had a chance to talk or get one-on-one with some of the major personalities that have made the BizJet a whipping boy and been able to get this through to them?
We have had a number of meetings with senior congressional leaders, and I think that has had some effect. As you know, the Troubled Asset Relief Program was proposed in the House of Representatives. It started with some of the language that would require any company receiving TARP money to divest of all of their aircraft and not use any charter or leased airplanes. We were able to make a compelling case that successfully eliminated that from the legislation. So we are having some success. I think that when companies are receiving federal funding, they are clearly going to be under a microscope. And that the press is very focused on who is receiving federal funding, what are they doing, how is it being used, and we are trying to make sure that people understand that we see that the business aircraft is a productivity tool, a time machine, and something that needs to be used as prudently, productively as possible. And we think that message is beginning to get through. I think we have a lot of work to do in that area, however.
Well, it's been asserted that the business aviation community is running scared because of all the bad press, because of the misunderstanding of the industry. What's wrong with standing up to some of this attention and saying, yeah, I've got a business aircraft, a business jet, a turboprop, or this or that? These are the advantages it affords me. This is how I do business. This is how I stay ahead of my competition. What are you going to make of it?
Well, and that really is the right response. The vast majority of the companies that operate a business aircraft do so with a very good business case on why they have the plane, how it is used, when it is used, under what circumstances, all of that stuff. And that needs to become very public. I think our community, for a number of years, simply said, gosh, there's been, a negative press on the exceptions to the rule. We'll just try to operate discreetly. And I think that the reality is that we all need to be very proactive telling the story of how we are using these things in prudent, responsible ways to generate economic activity, to generate jobs, to promote the economy. I think there is a very good news story on business aviation. We at NBA have certainly been trying to tell it and encouraging our members to tell their story as well. Being able to be out, be vocal, and be visible is something that I think works to our benefit.
We'll be back for more with ANN's Jim Campbell and NBAA's Ed Bolin in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? the flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plagg. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with NBAA's Ed Boland about the current image crisis faced by business aviation. Aero News has just gained a much closer perspective on this issue.
Over the last month, we became a business aircraft operator. We bought a high-performance piston single, technically advanced aircraft. We've already started operating it. We utilized it recently on a trip in which about $100,000 worth of contracts were discussed and worked and in some cases closed. It is a tool. It allowed me to get around. It allowed me to be more versatile. It allowed my media crews to do more, so forth and so on. These are the stories we hope to be telling over, you know, the coming years and so forth. But why don't we hear more about all manner of these things? It's not just the biz jets, and I don't want to keep them out of the scenario here. But when they start throwing rocks at business aviation, they're throwing rocks at the guy with the 172 that has his tool route for his hardware distributorship all the way up to the fellow with the latest and greatest Gulfstream.
Well, you've got a couple of questions in there. Let's start with, you know, business aviation is an enormously positive thing for our country. It does mean over a million good manufacturing jobs, good service jobs. General aviation means jobs in America. It also means economic development in small towns and rural communities. Over 100 communities have lost all commercial airline service over the past year. For those companies with facilities, with plants, with customers in those communities, this is the economic development tool. And there are a lot of small town mayors and small airport managers that recognize that the economic future of a lot of these communities depends on business aviation. And then business aviation is a productivity tool, a competitive advantage for the companies that operate it. So let's be clear that business aviation is good for everybody in the United States. In terms of segmenting out and trying to say, well, there are these types of operators and those types of operators, the reality is that all of these operations are within the general aviation community. All of these things are done for a productive business purpose, and the benefits go to everybody. So when people try to look into the general aviation community and say, well, this is a good one, that's a bad one, this is a good airplane, that's a good company, this is a bad company, doesn't make sense. The reality is whether you are a company that has international missions or whether you are a company that has statewide missions, whether you're operating an intercontinental business jet or a single-engine piston, the realities are the same. You are using a product that is a business tool to help your company be more efficient, be more successful, and to survive in this brutal economy. And whether or not it is big or small, fast or slow, it is all got the essential parts to it. That is, it is a tool.
In light of the bad press and the way this bad press seems to be propagated, where we have a number of bloggers who may not ascribe to a number of journalistic principles, and then, of course, conventional journalism, which seems to be suffering these days from a number of maladies. Do you expect that the outreach, the public persona of NBAA and how it deals with these disparate and often difficult media venues, do you expect the way you're going to be interfacing with the public and the media to change?
Well, we are using a number of different technologies to try to do outreach, and I think that as we see, you know, blogs, the internet, the traditional media, all of that stuff emerging, transforming, evolving, we are trying to stay on top of that. I think that there is an inherent challenge, and that is in a down economy. People are frustrated. People are upset. They're looking for places and areas to focus that negative energy. I think the good thing for business aviation is we have a great story to tell. It may not be intuitive to people who have not thought about the industry. But it is a good news story, and it's the one that I just outlined about how positive general aviation is for the United States. And so whatever the media medium is, the good news is we've got a good story to tell, and our challenge is to try to be everywhere and effective in getting that message through.
In the meantime, though, of course, the operative phrase here is we've all got to do business in tough times, and that includes NBAA. How is the business climate affecting you? Obviously, you've had to fold the Light Business Project, which you know we all thought was a really neat idea at the right time, back into the convention itself. How does that affect the future of that kind of outreach?
Well, we are totally committed to the light business airplane operators. We believe that is a fundamental part of the business aviation community, that it is a large, growing part of the community, and we want to nurture, facilitate, service that group, and really be relevant. The content that was developed for the Light Business Airplane Conference in San Diego, 2 days of what we think is just outstanding informational sessions. And while the economic realities are not allowing us to go forward with the show in San Diego, we certainly don't want to lose that content, and we don't want to lose the outreach to this important segment. So we have for 2009 merge that into the annual meeting and convention. That will give participants in the convention kind of a two-track way of experiencing the convention. And those who are the entrepreneur pilots that are part of the light business airplane community will have an opportunity to have all of that content available to them.
Well, we certainly look forward to that, and that'll be coming up this fall again in Orlando, as I recall, correct?
Yeah, that'll be October 20, 21, and 22 in Orlando, and we think it's going to be an enormously important conference for our community.
All right. Ed, let's summarize, if we can, what should the folks listening to you and I and reading both the NBAA as well as Aero News and Aero TV websites and all of our syndication partners be doing right now to defend our industry?
To be visible, to be vocal, to do outreach. I think this is a situation where people need to talk to coworkers, friends, colleagues. They've got to make sure that everybody understands what the value of business aviation is to the individual, to the company, to the community, and to the country. And that starts at a local level, and it builds out from there. And I think that people just need to understand this is not the time to be discreet. This is not the time for someone to say, let's just put our head down. because that's effectively putting your head in the sand. What we need to do is to be defining ourselves to the community and being very vocal in promoting ourselves.
Outstanding. Ed, we sure appreciate your time, and we look forward to better times for aviation, better times for business, and more important than anything else, a better image for all of them.
Well, as I said before, we've got a great story to tell. We need to be visible and active doing that, and we can turn this thing around.
I'd like that very much. I promise you we'll be doing our part as much as we possibly can.
I know you will, Zoom. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it.
NBAA will understandably be on the front line of this perception battle for some time to come. Find out more about the organization, current issues, and updates on the evolving Light Business Airplane Show at www.nbaa.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.